And welcome into the Moneyline here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, Chase McCabe and Elijah Campbell here with you tonight. No Ryan Porth off this week, but excited to all be with you. And Elijah, it's all brought to you by
our good friends at TwinSpire Sportsbook.
That is correct. Absolutely. So we're going to, as the NCAA tournament, it's hard to believe that it's about to wrap up. And that's sad to all of us. It's almost done with the Final Four. It is finally here. What have been your overall, before we get into the whole betting side of it, what have been your overall thoughts of the tournament so far?
I mean, I don't think it disappointed. I mean, we've had a ton of upsets. It's been incredibly unpredictable. Just like this last year in college basketball and the world has been pretty unpredictable. Maybe not, you know, Darren McFarlane on Darren Donick and Chase, weekdays 10 to 2.
Nice.
You like that plug right there?
That was good.
Has, you know, talked about, but there's been a lot of duds in some of the games. And we've had that in the last couple rounds. But the unpredictability with an 11 seed like UCLA going to the Final Four, not just like any 11 seed. This is an 11 seed that has the most national championships in the history of college basketball. One of the more bizarre underdog stories I think you'll ever see in college sports. A team like Oregon State making the Elite Eight after having to scratch and claw and win their conference tournament and beat all the top teams in their conference tournament just to make the NCAA tournament ends up going to the Elite Eight. Like, you have a lot of really good storylines like that, a ton of upsets. The Oral Roberts making the Sweet 16, only being the second 15 seed to do so, and they probably should have gone to the Elite Eight. They were one Max Asmus three-pointer away from going to the Elite Eight, which is just insane. So, I mean, to me, it hasn't disappointed. As a college basketball junkie, it's been everything I could have hoped for. And I feel like for the casual fan, too, the unpredictability has given it an element that makes this event in general probably the best on the sports calendar, for me at least.
Yeah, and I think that we were so hungry to have it back, too. You know, that's added a lot to it. But It's been a fun tournament. I mean, you've had some close games. You haven't had the buzzer beaters, which Willie brought up today on our pick six. Will there
it's
be
an interesting prop?
Yeah, I said no. I don't feel like there will be, but It is an interesting prop for sure. But I think overall it's been fun, and with the upsets, especially in the first couple of rounds, from a betting standpoint, if you're all about the dogs barking, then it's been good. Like, you've had some success. Like, I got my butt handed to me the first weekend. I absolutely did, because I was trying to read matchups, and you know, the seeding was a little off with some of these, like Loyola Chicago is a prime example.
Criminally off with Loyola Chicago.
Criminally off with that. So that has added an interesting element to it. But you know, I've always said with the NCAA tournament, I feel like eventually it kind of works itself out, and I kind of think that's what's going to happen this weekend. I think it's awesome that an 11 seed UCLA has gotten as far as they have, but I think the road ends here.
Yeah,
that's just what it looks like.
Notorious or historical underdog UCLA, team that's never made it this far. But no, UCLA, being an underdog just sounds so weird to me, especially in this type of situation. But I like to refer to what UCLA is doing right now and what I think is going to happen to UCLA, because I'm with you. I mean, Gonzaga is a buzzsaw right now. And if there was any team that I thought could contain Gonzaga defensively, it would have been USC. Because they held teams to about 41% shooting from the two-point area, which is historically great. And they have one of the better shot blockers we've seen in college basketball in the last decade, Evan Mobley. If there's any team that could keep Gonzaga from cutting you up and beating you from around the rim, I thought it would have been USC. But that game wasn't close the entire time. So what I'm kind of like you. I think Gonzaga does kind of run away with it. And what's going to happen to UCLA is what I like to refer to as getting George Masoned, where you mess around and have no business getting into the Final Four. And then you finally get there. And the clock strikes midnight. All the magic pixie dust is out. The inventory has been wiped clean of miracles and hope. And the team that's supposed to beat you by 25 beats you by 25.
Yeah, and I mean, that's probably what's going to happen with Gonzaga. So a few odds that I came across when getting ready for this. With the Final Four, the odds to win the tournament right now. Okay, I have those. Gonzaga clearly the favorite.
As they should.
Minus 205. However, they opened at, because I did the comparison. Like, what did they open as? And how
I was
far,
like looking at those. Yeah.
What would you guess?
Ooh, opened. Okay, so we were saying at the start of the season or the start of the tournament. Okay, start of the season. I will go plus 950.
You're close. 1,000.
1,000.
Right.
Oh,
at
so
1,000.
About right at 1,000.
Yeah, right at 1,000.
Wow.
So that to show you
that's
how much it's moved.
Value,
so if you took them back then, Baylor is next at plus 280 right now. What do you think they opened at?
They I'm half tempted to say that they started off. Well, no. Because I think Gonzaga started off with number one this year. They were wire to wire number one. I'd say Baylor is probably 1150.
1150. Yeah, 1300.
13, wow. Okay. Yeah, a little high.
Now this is where it gets tough because Houston plus 800 right now. That's how little they think of Houston. Which I think that's good. That's going to be the game. Like Baylor and Houston is going to be the game.
Mm-hmm.
They plus 800 opened at plus 4,500 UCLA right now, plus 1800, clearly the big underdog as they should be
of biblical proportion. Yeah.
Opened at plus 5,000.
Open at plus 5,000. Imagine just putting a ticket just randomly on UCLA thinking it's UCLA. Like I know who John Wooden was. Why not? And then that almost coming to fruition now.
Yeah. So I like looking at kind of where the odds change along the way, and I think it's a lot of fun. But, yeah, you know, Gonzaga at minus 205, that's what it should be. And I know we talked about it this week on Darren Donick and Chase of all of us kind of feel like, you know, want to see Gonzaga, want to see Baylor, the two best teams. And I know that the beauty of the NCAA tournament is it's not always the best teams. It's just the best teams that day.
Uh-huh.
That get through it, and that's why they do it, and that's why we love it, because of the unpredictability. I mean, it's like I go back to the conference tournaments too. You know, that's can happen in conference tournaments, and that's why I think the regular season champ should get something.
Theoretically, yeah, that's the most fair. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what we love about the NCAA tournament. But at the same time, especially this year, and I think it's because the Blue Bloods aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I know UCLA at one time was a blue blood. They're not anymore.
Haven't been in over a decade.
Yeah, a long time. But now it's like, I kind of want to see it shake out how it needs to shake out. Like, I want to see the two best teams and the two teams that have been the best teams consistently throughout the season. I want to see them go mano a mano.
Right, yeah. And what makes that even more desirable for me, at least as a fan, was we got robbed of that in December. These two teams were supposed to play in the first Saturday of December, and because of some COVID issues on Gonzaga's team, it forced them to have to postpone that game. That was number one versus number two. That was going to be the biggest test the Zags faced all season long, and they didn't get to have that, and we were robbed of the two best teams. And it shows a lot. It's a big testament to both of these teams that they were considered the best two teams in November. They were considered the best two teams in December when they were supposed to play each other. And now there's a chance that we can finally get that matchup in the national championship game, the one that obviously means the most. And you hit the nail right on the head when you said that what makes this tournament so good is that the best team doesn't always win, and we hardly ever get the best teams in the final. I mean, several of the last few years, we've had two teams in the championship game that were three seeds versus five seeds, or heaven forbid you get a 1 year where it's UConn and Kentucky where it's like seven seed versus eight seed or whatever. But we can have two ones. The top two seeds of the entire tournament square off in a title game. And that's not something that you get a lot in this tournament by nature because it is single elimination. And we have a chance to get that.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be really, really cool to see. So, obviously, a lot of the flavor tonight here on the Moneyline will revolve around the Final Four in the NCAA tournament. As I know, many of you have been wagering on that, and this is the first year that it's been legal in our state to give you the opportunity to do that with whatever book that you decide to use, or multiple books. I mean, that's what's been fun is seeing all the boosts that they've been doing, whatever the books have been putting out there. And you can also line shop because you're gonna see some discrepancies in places. But I know talking to Alan Bell earlier this week on Darren Donick and Chase, it's been profitable. It's been good for everybody to be able to bet on this tournament.
Oh yeah, I mean that's one of the cool things is sinks. I have slightly dabbled before it became, I guess, legal in the state. I've been to Vegas before and got to fiddle around a little bit. And once it became legalized here, you know, I kind of went pretty deep into it. I app shopped and everything, but I've never gotten to experience a March Madness with gambling. The dimension that it adds is immense too. I mean, like, filling out a bracket's fun. Being in a bracket pool in which you're throwing in some money is fun. But that instant gratification of betting on the game that you're watching right there. And, like, here's the thing, too. Like, you can call your upsets in a bracket. I love calling bracket upsets. I get two or three every year when it first comes out. Then I'm like, this is it. You got to lock on this. Like, this one's it. And then it feels different when it hits and you got to actually wager on it right then. Because you can nail an upset pick and it not win your bracket because first-round games are, I guess, leveled out to where they don't mean as much as the Sweet 16 games you pick. And if your bracket's busted in the first round, then those are meaningless to you later on. So the gratification of getting to get those upset picks correct is what makes that a lot more gratifying, something that I never really took into account until I finally got to participate in one.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun, that is for sure. We are up and running here on the Moneyline again. No Ryan Porth tonight. Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell, and you can watch us on Twitch, on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook. We are getting everything rolled out on that front here at ESPN 102.5 The Game, and Darren Donick and Chase will go live for 4 hours starting on Monday. So exciting, as we've done a lot of work behind the scenes and to get that going, but here tonight, and you know, I'm actually in studio. It's nice to love what you've done with the place, Elijah.
It's nice to have you in studio. For months, I've gotten to chill out in the studio during Darren Donick and Chase by myself, and after a while, you get cabin fever. You know, I haven't gotten to see anybody face to face. I'm surprised Darren McFarland would ever recognize me. I don't think we have seen each other face to face since last March.
That's been
13 months. Willie's had to come in once. So Willie broke that streak. You've obviously broken that streak, especially today. As you can see, if you're watching right now, we're in the same room right now. I'm wearing a sick sweater, but you can get more of a
good.
Yes, I love this thing. Goodwill find. But you're going to get a lot more of this. And that's what I'm excited about, too. It just adds another cool element to a lot of the personalities we have here on 102.5 The Game. And so far, I thought it's been fantastic. It's been fun. And I've been telling everybody about it. If you like listening to the show, you're going to like looking at us a lot more.
Absolutely. When we come back, cash or trash. Looking forward to this. It is the Moneyline presented by Twin Spire Sports here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the Moneyline, presented by Twin Spire Sportsbook here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app, on Twitch, on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook as well. Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell here with you tonight. My man Kenny behind the glass on the ones and twos, bringing it on a Friday. Hope you are having an incredible start to your weekend. It is that time of the show where we play cash or trash. Now, Elijah, how this usually works is Ryan comes up with five bets that he throws my way and asks me to say cash or trash. What do I think about it? Now, last week, as I said on the air and I told him when we were planning the show, I was like, you know, we're pretty much on point this week with these. I only disagreed with two of them, but it was not by a lot. But first week, it was more so. So we'll see how it is with us. I have come up with a few to see what you think about this. And there's a basketball flavor. There's a baseball flavor. A little bit of everything
Best part about this time of year is that there's so much going on right now. It's a very underrated part of the sports calendar that doesn't get talked about enough.
So we will start on the hardwood with Gonzaga. We know that the Zags have a potent offense. With that lineup, and we know Drew Timmy, the sophomore, Kispert, the senior, Suggs, the freshman, they bring it every night. With Timmy averaging 19, Kispert's right behind him at 18.9, Suggs with 14. They have a lot of firepower, and as a team, they average 92.9 a game, almost 93 points a game. Oof. Does that team put up? So I looked at, all right, what is the team total for Gonzaga when they face UCLA? And believe it or not, it is actually below their average. The team over under is 84.5. Or actually, let me go back. I took a couple. There are a couple different options. The one that I selected was 84.5.
Okay, for the game. Okay. Team total.
I was trying to do too much and confuse myself. So I selected 84.5 and say the over because it's plus odds, plus 170 over 84.5 for Gonzaga. So what do you think about that?
Oh,
is that cash or trash?
That's cash. That is absolutely cash. Like, here's the thing. Gonzaga offensively is so potent.
That's cash.
You hear that? That's exactly what that is. And that is the Gonzaga offense. The Gonzaga offense is also just money. I mean, this is the best two-point shooting team we've probably ever seen in college basketball. They make almost 64% of their twos. And the thing is, they got done playing. I think they shot about 58% from two against USC, which is one of the best rim-protecting team in college basketball. That couldn't slow down this Gonzaga offense. It's not like they're just dunking on people. They're great cutters. They're great passers. They scheme ways to get themselves shots at the rim. And when they get the ball to the rim, they don't miss. Drew Timmy especially. And UCLA, defensively, their two-point defense is not their strength. They rank 158th in the country in two-point defense. The teams are shooting about 50% from two against them. I love Gonzaga here. I think they're going to push tempo too. They're awesome in transition. UCLA does not want to play in transition. Mick Cronin teams don't like playing in transition. Gonzaga is going to control the tempo because they've done that every game they've played because they're also the more experienced team. They're going to be able to control the tempo of the game. They're going to push the pace. They're going to score a lot of points. If you can even buy some more points on that, I would even take that up to 88.5 and go over. I think Gonzaga is scoring 90 points in this game.
Yeah, UCLA's defense holding opponents to 67.9. And just for full comparison, UCLA averaging about 72.6. So, I mean, the over, you know, for the game may very well hit because it could, you know, could be a lot of points scored. But I think Gonzaga is going to go off. So that's why. So I'm glad we agree on that. He says cash for the team total over 84.5 for Gonzaga. Now with the other game. The first game in the Final Four, Baylor and Houston, the over 135. Now, when I was looking at this earlier, and I use covers.com for a lot of this information, the public is on the over at 67%. The sharps are on the over at 77%. Ooh. The under is getting 33% of the bets from the public and 23%. From the sharp. So everybody seems to like the over in that one too. And you know, I live by the mantra when I think it sounds cool of life's too short to bet the under. So going with the over 135, Houston averaging 77.2 points per game, Baylor averaging 85.3 points per game this season. So what do you think? Cash or trash on the over 135 between Baylor and Houston?
I've thought about that one a lot today. Specifically, because you don't know what you're going to get with Houston in terms of how they shoot the ball. They're not a good shooting team. And that's one of the reasons, ironically enough, why their offense is actually pretty good is because they clean up the glass better than anybody else.
They're a great rebounding team.
Yeah. I mean, their best offense is when they're breaking threes and grabbing offensive rebounds and they're getting the foul line or making that two-point bucket or that Quentin Grimes is hitting the occasional three. But the firepower in this game is going to come from Baylor. They're the best three-point shooting team in the country. They make almost 42% of their three-point shots. They have multiple guys that are hitting more than 40% from three on the year in relatively high volume in Davion Mitchell and Jared Butler. Matthew Mayer's gotten hot as of late. I got to go cash, and that's me changing my mind from earlier in the show. I was going to.
So you were leaning under.
I was leaning under. Because of Houston, because of the way they like to dictate tempo as well. I think Baylor is probably do a better job of that. The thing here for this, it's all going to be dependent on whether or not Baylor's actually making those three-point shots. If they have a bad shooting night and this game gets close and it's going to be in the mud, it's going to, A, benefit Houston, and, B, it's going to feed into that under.
Okay. All right. So we're 2 for 2 on a green so far with the over there between Baylor and Houston at 135. Number 3 for cash or trash, See, I've already messed this up, Kenny. You have big voice guy ready to go, and I've been taking it from. Go ahead. I'm sorry. This is why Ryan does
number
this.
Three.
Thank you.
There we go.
This is why I'm used to riding, you know, shotgun on this. So
big voice guy getting a workout today.
He does. Does he have a name? Big voice guy. Besides big voice guy,
I think he's.
I mean, I know his real name.
But, I like big voice guy.
Yeah,
I like big voice guy too. Notorious BVG.
Yeah. That works. All right, now we go to baseball. Opening day was yesterday in the bigs, and one team, the defending World Series champions, to be precise, the Dodgers. Well, it wasn't their night. As they gave up eight, they lost 8-5 to the Colorado Rockies. I believe that changes tonight. I am taking the Dodgers over 7.5 runs scored tonight. I think those bats get going.
Ooh.
Kenny, you like that? Led by, it's called gambling. Led by
Kenny's face.
Led by Mookie Betts. I think the over 7.5 runs, it's even money.
That's even?
Even money. +100.
Oh, wow.
Cash or trash?
Oh, that's.
Kenny doesn't like it. I don't think Kenny likes it back there.
Oh, man, that's tough.
Not a fan, but hey, who am I?
Yeah.
Santalia on the mound for Colorado and Trevor Bauer on the mound for the Dodgers.
You piqued my interest in this, though, because if that's an even, I mean, the Colorado Rockies are going to have one of the worst starting rotations in baseball this year. They're going to be putting it on tees for people.
In Colorado.
Exactly. The ball carries. Like that's science, baby. That's not just math or gambling. That is science. So I like that. I want to trash one so bad, but I like it. You've got some good ones here.
You're not. I thought for sure you would trash that. Kenny would for sure trash that.
I knew you were going to trash that, but hey.
I think Ryan would trash that too.
Yeah, he would have trashed that big time. Seriously. Yeah,
I think he would. Okay. All right.
I'm cashing it. Yeah. That's
number four.
Feeling it.
All right. Now you have a couple that you want to throw my way.
Yeah.
So now we're gonna reverse roles here.
I like it. Sounds good.
We're getting a little crazy here. So we'll go ahead, we'll go back to the hardwood here. NBA. This is a big line. One of my favorite things about gambling is betting on big lines. Just because, yeah. I mean, those are the trickier ones to bet, in my opinion. Sometimes it's easier, the 1.5, 2.5 point spreads. This one's interesting, and I picked this game also so I could use the term Dorcher Chamber. Thunder at Suns tonight. The Suns are 13.5 point favorites, a massive spread. The Thunder are a little banged up on the injury side, especially with no Lou Dort. Cue the Simpsons Bort Dort jokes here. So no one's going to be putting the Dorcher chamber.
We are out of Bort license plates in the gift shop. We need more Bort license plates in the gift shop.
My son's also named Bort. But 13.5, massive for an NBA game.
I think the
Suns are going to do it. I think if the spread was 15.5, I'm taking the Phoenix Suns. I love what they've done this year. I'm a big fan of Chris Paul, a.k.a. the point god. He's having a fantastic year. DeAndre Ayton's having a good year. Devin Booker is a perennial all-star now. I like the Suns minus the 13.5.
So you want to lay it.
Mm-hmm.
The public agrees with you. 58%.
My people.
Are on that. The Sharps agree with you. It's tight, but 56%.
A little closer. Okay.
Going that way. Interesting. 13.5. Phoenix 31-16 against the spread this year. OKC 24-22-1. So basically 500 against the spread.
They're a scrappy bunch.
This is tough.
That was one of the biggest toss-ups I could find. I was trying to find one that was an incredible toss-up, and it's always the ones that are double-digit spreads in the NBA.
I'm going to fade. I'm fading.
Okay,
I'm going trash.
Trash it.
I'm going trash. I think that's a lot of... It's a big number.
It's a massive number. I almost want it bigger, too. That is a big number.
My gambling insider, the Richter scale, says Suns minus 13.5. Yikes.
He says yikes. Oh, I think it's going to be a clubbing. I think what's going to happen tonight in Phoenix might be not safe for work. I think it might get that. I just love the Suns this year too. As an NBA guy, they are a fun basketball team, And I needed an excuse to whip out the Dorcher Chamber nickname.
Okay. The next one.
Number five.
All right. We're going to go to the diamond. Your boys, the Atlanta Braves, dropped one.
They did.
In Philly yesterday. Tough loss. Tough way to start the season. And this is coming from a Cincinnati Reds fan who dropped six runs in the first inning. I can't speak today.
But that's okay.
A six-run first inning. Yeah, it's just radio. Whatever. I don't need it. But Braves, Phillies, again, Charlie Morton making his Atlanta Braves debut. Wheeler. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forget about that. I feel like he's been everywhere, too.
Yep.
He is one of the greatest journeymen for pitchers in MLB history here. But Charlie Morton making his re-debut for the Braves. Zach Wheeler on the mound for the Phillies for the first time. I will go ahead and not ask you who wins. The over-under set at 8.
This time of year, over-unders in baseball are very tough.
They're very tough.
Like yesterday, a ton of runs were given up.
Uh-huh. I think I'm going to go under because the Braves started off slow last year with the bats too. I think this year might be a little similar.
So you're saying cash or trash on the under?
Cash or trash on the under of 8.
Yeah,
with Morton and Wheeler. Wheeler I thought was a very underrated signing for the Phillies this year.
That's tough. Cause I could easily see. Well, what's holding me back on this is could I see a 3-3, like a 4-3 win from either side? Yes.
That's kind of where I'm leaning, is it be a 4-3. It's going to get close. We're going to flirt.
Could I see 5-4? I'm going to say
Charlie
cash.
Morton.
I'm going to say cash.
Okay, all right. There you go.
I'm going to say cash. That one's tough.
That one was a tough one. Your boys, the Bravos.
Okay, that was tough. There you go. Cash or trash here on the Money Line. We do it every week, and it is a fun segment. We will see how that shakes out as we kind of split it this week with Ryan being out. When we come back here on the Money Line, parlays and futures, our parlays of the week and our future bets, we will get into that. It is the Money Line every Friday at 6 o'clock, presented by Twin Spire Sports here on ESPN 102.5 The Game in the Game Nashville app.
Take the baseline out.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back into the Money Line. ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app. We're on Twitch, Twitter, all those things that the kids use these days. Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell, Big Kenny behind the glass, and Ryan Porth out this week. He will return next week. A little vacay for him. It is time for our parlays of the week. This is where each of us will give a couple of parlays and discuss them and hopefully make you some money and ourselves, because that's the goal. That's kind of what we're looking to do here on the show. So I will lead things off with my first one, and it is out of the National Hockey League.
Yes.
And taking place tonight. Because I typically like to live in the moment, so I'm giving both of these are for tonight. The first of that, as I pull up my NHL scoreboard here, because I've closed that by accident, trying to get through this. So
that's part about all of this is having so many tabs open. I have about 20 in terms of Safari and Google Chrome. I have both open at all times and at least 5 tabs open on each.
Yeah. I just completely messed that up. So we go two games. This is a 3-leg parlay, and 2 of these games are out of the north, the Northern Division. We start with the Toronto Maple Leafs as they go on the road to take on the Winnipeg Jets. Now, we know what Toronto has been able to do at 23-10-3 on the season. Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, those guys are dangerous. But don't count out Mark Scheifele and Kyle Connor with the Jets. Also add Dubois into that as well. I like the Jets on the money line tonight as the first leg of this 3-leg parlay. So give me the Jets. The second part of this, staying in the north, Edmonton hosting Calgary tonight.
Ooh.
Edmonton is the favorite, 22-14-1 on the year. Calgary, 500 team. They made the coaching change. Sutter is back with them, trying to get things turned around. But I like Calgary on the road.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I like Calgary on the road with the upset. So adding a little sizzle into this parlay.
There is some sizzle there.
So give me Calgary. Okay. And then the final leg, we go into the West, the Colorado Avalanche.
We've looked at some similar games here, but with some different picks. This is good.
Oh, I like this. This
yeah.
is good.
Spice.
The Colorado Avalanche hosting the St. Louis Blues. And I made a vow that I would never pick the Blues again because they have just screwed me this year. Whenever I take the Blues, they screw me over.
They're so hard to forecast. I think they have been the last 3 or 4 years. They've always been a tricky team to kind of pick.
16-13-6 on the year. I like the Avs, and I like the puck line. In that one, -1.5.
Okay.
So Jets money line, Flames money line, Avs -1.5 at home.
I like that. And a little riskier on the Avs money line, too. I think they're obviously the much better team here. The Avs are probably the most fun team to watch, in my opinion. They're my favorite team to watch, I guess, in all of hockey right now. But only 17-18 puck line made me a little hesitant on that. But I am a big believer in the Avs, and I went Avs puck line as well. Over the Blues, even though that was a little bit more of a dice roll. I just, that offensive attack, man, it's fun. One other question. Nathan McKinnon didn't get suspended, did he? I don't think he did.
I believe it was just a fine.
Just the fine. Okay. Well, that was funny. The bucket toss was funny. For anyone that hasn't seen it, it is a pretty
$5,000 fine.
That might be the most unique hockey fight I have ever seen in my life. It was fantastic. The bucket toss. The bucket toss, as I would like for it to be known as. But I love the Avalanche against the Blues. I hate picking Blues games because you don't know what you're getting out of the Blues. The last several years.
Yeah, that's totally what it's been.
And, yeah, I just and never been a big Blues guy. But I also went with Oilers and the Flames, but I like the Oilers over the Flames. I wasn't going to go puck line. Neither team is fantastic on the puck line this year, but the Oilers have a fantastic offensive attack. I was tempted to take the over. It's a little bit of a higher line. 6.5 is what is set for the over-under. I thought about taking the over. Goaltending isn't really neither of these teams' forte, but they're also not very good. Well, the unders actually hit 6 out of the last 10 times for the Flames. That is a trend that I thought was interesting considering they haven't been good at stopping people this year.
And you have Connor McJesus, so that, you know, that certainly helps.
Yeah, exactly. McJesus and Dreisaitl and then Kreisaitl in the house, that line. You have those two. Actually, you know what? I want to mix it up a bit. I'm taking the over. I talked myself into the over.
Okay,
right now.
Over.
So I'll go over. Take the over on the 6.5. And if you want to feel froggy, I say take the Oilers, and I'll fade Chase's Flames pick. Yeah, a little spicy.
Oh, good
that
fade.
One.
That's okay.
I'll fade that one, and then Caps Devils. I'm going over the over 6 goals in that one. I love the that one actually.
That one has started.
That one has started. There is about 119, I think, gone in that one, or 119 left for Caps and Devils, and they're scoreless, but I think that is going to change. I still like the heavy goals on that. I think the over has hit on 7 of the last 10 Caps games, and they're just one of those teams that when they turn it on, like that offense, Ovechkin especially, one of the greatest goal scorers in the history of this game, he's still got it. So I like a lot of the goals there. And the Devils, they haven't impressed me defensively. Love PK Subban, but...
Yeah. I have it on good authority that an avid listener of the show really wants Alex Ovechkin to score a goal tonight.
Like his chances. I like our avid listener's chances of that being fulfilled because it feels like Alex Ovechkin has picked on the Devils a lot.
Yeah, the Ovi show. All right, my second parlay for our parlays of the week, to the Diamond we go. I'm going to reference this team quite a bit tonight, but the Dodgers... As they fell on opening day, the defending World Series champions, they added a pretty damn good pitcher, and I'm sorry for your loss as a Reds fan, but there will be some Bauer power tonight.
I like
-2.5 on the run line for the Dodgers.
Ooh.
I think they take care of business. They score a lot of runs. They back up Bauer. Give me the Dodgers -2.5 with Bauer on the bump.
I like that.
A favorite out of the American League, a team that people really like in the Central and they really like overall, the White Sox.
I love the White Sox. Oh, I was gonna hit on them too. I love that White Sox lineup. is loaded.
The Dallas Keuchel show tonight for the White Sox as they take on the Angels. The White Sox also fell on opening day. Keuchel taking on Haney. I like the White Sox. +105 is the money line, so I like them as the second leg of this three-leg parlay. And then finally, tonight, making his Padres debut, Blake Snell. Mm-hmm. Give me the Pods -1.5. On the run line as they host the Arizona Diamondbacks. Kelly versus that. Snell in San Diego. So that's my three-leg baseball parlay.
What's hilarious is we sat in here in this studio for an hour before the show started, kind of piecing these together, and we have almost the same ones for baseball.
Do we really?
It's really similar. Okay, so what I got Padres run line against the Diamondbacks.
We should have compared notes.
Yeah, I can elaborate a little bit too, but Blake Snell is going to be a man on a mission this year. Obviously, what happened in the World Series, he got pulled during one of the best games of his life. He doesn't have those restraints in San Diego anymore. This is a free man. I love Blake Snell and his debut here. I actually like the Padres to win the NL this year. That is my dark horse to win the National League pennant. They bolstered the pitching staff, which was the biggest thing that
they needed. What they needed.
They needed that desperately.
They have the bats.
They have the bats, and they picked up Snell, Darvish, and they kept Clevinger. So those are three pretty darn good arms right there, and they've had the bats. Fernando Tatis is a fantastic dark horse. No, not dark horse. He's a top three or four favorite to win the MVP in the NL, but I think they're going to be good enough to where he can be the MVP in the National League. I love the Padres here. They won yesterday, Blake Snell's debut. I'm feeling the magic there, so I'm going to go Padres run line against the Diamondbacks because I'm not really impressed with the Diamondbacks roster.
Yeah.
White Sox over Angels. I think that one's going to happen. I love the White Sox bats.
So we're right on the...
That's an enticing one for the over, too. 8.5 for the over. Dallas Keuchel, while he is a solid pitcher, has a tendency to lose control sometimes. The Angels bats, the strength of their team. They're not a team that's going to shut you out with their pitching rotation. Andrew Haney's a good lefty, but I don't really see him shutting out the White Sox. I think the bats do get to Keuchel, so I would take White Sox over the Angels, but to be a little different, take the over 8.5 on that one. Love the bats there. And then Rays Marlins over 7.5. That was a 1-0 baseball game yesterday.
So you think the bats wake up?
It was all glass now yesterday. The bats are going to wake up. I like Sixto Sanchez for the Marlins on the mound. That one's already started. They're in the bottom of the second, still donuts on the board. I like Ryan Yarbrough for the Rays, but not enough to keep the bats from coming alive. I just don't think we get a 1-0 type game again. I like the bats to bounce back here in the second game of that series.
There you go. Those are our parlays of the week. When we come back, we'll give you some futures and our locks of the week as well, as it is the Money Line presented by TwinSpires Sportsbook here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Welcome back to the Money Line, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on The Game Nashville app. Little David Bowie bringing us in. Love it.
Oh, yeah.
Presented by TwinSpires Sports. Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell, who is in for Ryan Porth tonight. Kenny behind the glass as well. We didn't get to our futures of the week in the last segment, so we'll go ahead and throw that out there. I want to throw this in real quick, just along these lines, because I think it is important as we go into the Final Four. The most outstanding player for the NCAA tournament. I was seeing these earlier. Now, Timmy from Gonzaga is +250 is the favorite.
The Drew Manchu.
Yeah. No surprise.
No surprise.
No surprise there. Kispert, his teammate, at +450. Butler, +500. Suggs, +550. Teague, +600. And Mitchell, +700.
Mm, I like this. And I jotted a couple of those down, too. The thing with Gonzaga, you can't go wrong with either of those three guys because it's going to be one of those three, unless Joel Ayayi has like a 20-point triple-double in the final and does something crazy. Andrew Nembhard goes nuts and scores 30 in the championship game, or we get like a Luke Hancock scenario where Anton Watson comes in and plays the game of his life and brings him back from a deficit or something. But in terms of value, I would take whoever the last guy for the Zags to be, which in this case is Jalen Suggs, leads the team in assist, is the most explosive player, best pro prospect in it. That's probably where your best value is for the Zags. And for Baylor, Davion Mitchell plays a lot like Donovan Mitchell, who also wears number 45, leads Baylor in assist and is their best three-point shooter on the best three-point shooting team in the country, making 45% of his threes on high volume, about five attempts a game. I like that value there since he's the third guy for Baylor, too. Third leading scorer behind Teagan Butler, but if he gets hot from three and he distributes like he has all year long, that could be the guy that puts him over the top against the Zags.
Okay. All right. You want to lead things off with a future? Or you want me to throw them at you?
Ooh. The biggest future I have right here, and I've just been feeling it. I mentioned it earlier in the show. Give me Fernando Tatis for the NL MVP. I got okay. Padres fever. I don't know if it's the pitching acquisitions in the offseason. I don't know if it's those sick jerseys that they have the best ones in baseball right now. But I got Padres fever. Give me the dads to win the NL pennant, and give me Fernando Tatis to be your NL MVP because they win the pennant.
Okay. I like that. These are what I have. I am going with two World Series matchups. Like, you actually have to pick the matchup, team versus the AL team. And the NL team is the same one in both of these matchups, and I have no shame.
Oh, I know exactly where this is going then. Yep.
The New York Yankees representing the American League versus my beloved Atlanta Braves.
Hello.
That's right. Kenny's all about it.
Kenny's into it.
1996, 1999, we want our rematch.
Come on now. Talk about it.
Plus 2,000 to get that matchup.
Oh, wow.
If it is the Yankees versus the Braves. The other one involving the Braves is another team that I mentioned earlier that I had in a parlay tonight. What seems to be a sexy pick out of the American League, Tony La Russa returning to managing the White Sox.
Oh, Mr.
Plus 3,000 versus the Braves.
Mister, don't you know who I am for the White Sox? Yeah, we're going to know who he is now. He's got one of the best hitting lineups in baseball right now. That is a loaded lineup. Big Tim Anderson guy.
Yes, so there you go. Those are two of my futures from the Diamond. I did yesterday. You missed this.
I like that.
So on the show.
Uh-huh.
For opening day, I said, Darren, I have to do this. I want to do this live. $50 on the Braves to win the World Series. $50 to win $500. So I have locked it in.
Okay, so it's going to be a very rewarding championship if the Braves were to break the Atlanta pro sports curse.
I hope so. They did get bad news today with the All Star game being taken away and
getting
moving in the draft. So. We won't really get into that. We'll talk about happier things. But there you go. And now that leads us to our locks of the week. This is a bet that you just feel really, really good about it. It's like a top shelf with pick six.
Yeah.
And mine is a team that I've talked about quite a bit tonight, the World Series champions, the Dodgers, -2.5 with Trevor Bauer on the mound. I think that's a lock.
I've gotten some texts during the break fading that one. So we've struck a chord with some people. That
That's
one's got
good.
A lot of reaction, but I tend to agree with you. The Rockies are a bad baseball team. They are an eyesore to watch. I too like the Dodgers, especially with Trevor Bauer. And as a Reds fan, I like to not cry because it's over. I smiled because it happened. So I like Bauer to have a nice debut for the LA Dodgers and beating the tar out of the Rockies. Mine is the over on the 84.5 points for the Zags. And if you can buy more points or get more points, and you can maybe get to like 88, 89, I think they score 90. I think that's just a lot.
So you think they put up 90?
I think they're putting up 90. They're putting up their average. I think they're putting up at least 90 points.
They're cutting the Nets down on Monday, aren't they?
Yeah. You could almost put that as a lock, too. Even though it is an absolute fool's errand to guarantee or lock any NCAA tournament game, especially when a Cinderella is involved, I'm going to do it anyway. Because this Gonzaga team's so good.
Okay, so let's go on the assumption it's Gonzaga-Baylor in the championship game. If you're handicapping that, what would the line be?
If I'm handicapping
Gonzaga is a 14-point favorite against UCLA. Baylor, I've seen five. I've seen 5.5 against Houston.
I would go 6.5.
Gonzaga by 6.5?
Gonzaga by 5 or 6.5. Mostly, and I'll do that based off of the closest game Gonzaga's played all year was a 5-point game against West Virginia, even though it was a double-digit game later on. West Virginia had a couple garbage time buckets to kind of cut into that. So really, there hasn't been a game in which Gonzaga's had to be in a two-possession game with less than a minute left. I think betting on Baylor to push them to that is probably a fair ask of anybody else. If I had to handicap it, I'm probably going 5.5 or 6.5, Gonzaga being favored.
Okay, that's fair. There you go. That's how we will end it here on the Money Line. Appreciate my boy Elijah Campbell for filling in for Ryan Porth. Kenny is always behind the glass. I'm Chase McCabe. You can catch Elijah and I and Darren Donick and Chase Monday through Friday from 10 to 2 right here on ESPN 102.5. The Game. Stick around. ESPN Radio is next on ESPN 102.5. The Game, the Game Nashville app.